If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Epilepsy and seizures is our guest topic on the show right now, and the epilepsy issue is big. It affects over 2 million people in this country. Others estimate that figure could be higher. Epilepsy is among the most common neurological disorders, and 10% of us will experience a seizure in our lifetime. Dr. Brian Smith is the co-chair, Department of Clinical Neurosciences, and chief division of neurology at the Spectrum Health Medical Group in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He also is the immediate past chair of the National Epilepsy Foundation, and he has epilepsy. Dr. Smith, thanks for coming on the show today. The question that caught my attention was, this is the season for seizures. Why is that?
Yes, well, you know, around the holidays, we all have a change in our schedules, and you know, things that can put someone at higher risk to more likely have a seizure are things like sleep deprivation, excessive stress. Sometimes people who have epilepsy or seizures who are well controlled may not get their medications on time because of the schedule's quite different. So things like stress and sleep deprivation, alcohol can all lower a seizure threshold and make them more likely to happen.
All right, here's Dr. Mike Roizen. Dr. Mike.
We've got one question already which relates to that, and so let me ask you that. It is, a number of my friends, this person actually lives in Texas where the flu is high. I guess they must be listening to, so there's a Jean in Texas, and Jean, thank you for writing the question. She said, the flu is high here, and especially when I look on Google Flu Trends, it is high there. And she said, does flu stimulate epilepsy? That is flu enough of a stress? And does inflammation in general trigger epilepsy?
So someone can develop seizures and subsequently epilepsy from a viral illness that gets severe, like a meningitis or encephalitis, which can kind of potentially scar the surface of the brain. Most people from the flu itself, though, would not develop seizures or develop epilepsy just from that. If I have someone who has a diagnosis of epilepsy and is well controlled, when they have the flu, though, that can, again, infection can lower seizure threshold because it seems to stress the system and therefore more likely make them have a seizure. Or, as we all know, when we have the flu, sometimes we can't keep food down, and they also have difficulty keeping their medicines down. That's another thing that would put them more at risk to have a seizure.
So thank you for that. Let's go to the basic questions first, and then let's talk more about this. And there are two organizations that are really have brought this home, epilepsyfoundation.org, which is the National Epilepsy Foundation. And November was National Epilepsy Awareness Month, so we've just passed that. If you will, epilepsyfoundation.org. And the other is you work and you're chief of neurology or of the co-chair of the Department of Clinical Neurosciences and chief of the Division of Neurology at Spectrum Health Medical Group in Grand Rapids. What is epilepsy and why is it dangerous?
So epilepsy is the term used for someone who has recurrent seizures, and a seizure is basically an electrical short circuit of the brain. You know, when we're born, we have this massive electrical network called our brain that usually it's a balanced circuit. It should function normally, but for some reason, people will develop epilepsy because it could be an injury to the brain, like a scar from head trauma. It could be an injury from stroke, an infection. We talked about meningitis or encephalitis, complications at birth. And then there's a number of forms of epilepsy that are genetically passed on in the family. And those are just a few of the reasons, but there's a number of reasons that seizures can occur, and it comes down to that issue of the brain short-circuiting. Then the seizures can be in many sizes and shapes, too. Depending on what is the cause and where they're originating from, they can look quite different. people have always assumed that a seizure is a grand mal seizure, and that's kind of the only type, but there's many
grand types. Grand mal means you're shaking throughout the body, and it generally starts, it generally starts in one area and spreads through your whole body. Is that a grand mal?
Well, that's the term grand mal, you're correct, is for that type of convulsive seizure we've seen happen for many years. Interestingly, that can occur because a seizure starts in one part of the brain and then spreads to the rest of the brain. But remember I'd mentioned a number of forms of genetic epilepsy where the whole network is firing all at once. So it's actually not starting in one part, but the whole system is short-circuiting at once and can look just like a grand mal seizure. They may look very similar despite the fact that the electrical short circuit and the spread is a little different mechanism.
And now the what you said is there, if it, for example, occurs in the temporal lobe, we used to say it could be just an abnormal smell you have or an abnormal taste. So seizures can occur various forms. You yourself had seizures at one point from what I would call a very unusual cause. Go ahead and describe your own personal involvement in this and why you chose the field of neurology.
Well, my experience probably started at a young age. I remember having this weird dream, almost like looking through a kaleidoscope at a very young age. And that kind of seemed to go away. And then all of a sudden, as a teenager, I started having these episodes where I felt like my brain was almost like being warped around the room on a lasso. And, you know, I could still talk to people, and it would only last 15, 20 seconds. And I had no idea what it was, but it seemed to go away and not cause a problem. And then one night, having that same feeling in the parking lot at high school, I went into a grand mal seizure. So this was your seizure that started in one part of the brain and then spread. And I was taken in the hospital, had the full evaluation. Everything supposedly came back normal back in those days, and just was placed on medication and did fine for a number of years and was told, well, I'm off the medication, which I did. But unfortunately, that led to another major seizure. And that's also when MRI was just coming out, and they did an MRI picture and found I had had a tumor in the temporal lobe, which probably was missed back in the earlier days by CAT scan because of some of the artifact that you see in CAT scan around the bone windows. And so that's kind of what happened.
Yeah,
and had to have
had
surgery to remove it and take care of the problem.
People don't think of brain tumors as slow-growing. That was a really unusual tumor. Is that right?
Well, there are a lot of slow-growing tumors. As a matter of fact, the slow-growing tumors are more likely to cause seizures than fast-growing tumors. So this was actually what was called a gliovascular hamartoma, which was an unusual nesting of abnormal cells and vessels together that was expanding. And, you know, the seizures don't necessarily come from the tumor itself, but the effect of the tumor on the surrounding what used to be normal brain and it being pressed and irritated. So, yes, you need to get remove that lesion, but you also may need to remove some of the surrounding tissue that's been injured by the development of that lesion.
Now, Donna asks a question, and thank Donna in New Jersey. Is epilepsy in children or in a child different than in an adult?
Yeah, there are many different forms of epilepsy. You know, we should say the epilepsies because there's at least 40 types, and we're identifying new types every year because some of the genetic markers that we're identifying. So you can have a benign form of epilepsy as a child and actually grow out of it. You can have forms of epilepsy that start very early in childhood that are quite severe and unfortunately don't have easy answers right now. And also later in life, we have people developing epilepsy from stroke and tumor and dementia. So it can vary for many different reasons, and that will change as you look at the age groups from the very young to the adolescent.
Well, we have a number of questions. Dr. Smith from spectrumhealth.org. A number of questions relating to epilepsy changing, and one of them is a brilliant question because it talks about brilliant lights and flashing lights at a basketball game causing something. So we'll come back and we'll talk about that. Joe?
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Topic is epilepsy and seizures with Dr. Brian Smith. He himself has epilepsy. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen again. Dr. Mike.
And Dr. Smith and we should say it's a great segment, so people should listen to this on epilepsy. You can get it on podcast and keep asking us questions on udocs@gmail.com. This one comes from a Bill who I think lives in Chicago, although he says he's listening to this in Tampa. So I'm not sure why the Chicago reference, but anyway, he said it may be that it was at a Bulls basketball game he saw. Maybe that's it. He said he saw at a basketball game when they were flashing lights during the introductions that someone had a seizure, and they attributed it to the flashing lights. What's that all about?
Yeah, so there are certain forms of epilepsy, and I had mentioned some forms that typically are passed on genetically. And there's a typically this is generalized epilepsy where people can be a little bit more susceptible to these flashing, high-frequency flashing of lights. And that's why if someone's ever had an EEG, a lot of times they'll be sitting there and then they'll do this, what we call photic stimulation, because that can actually show an abnormality on EEG. But that's also why patients with seizures are told to be a little careful in that setting, because that can potentially induce a seizure. Now, most of this is fairly well regulated, that people know that certain frequency of light flashing can be a problem. So those who are making video games or fire alarms with the flashing lights, keep away from that frequency. But there have been problems in the past. A number of years ago, there was a new video game that came out, and I believe this was in China. I could be incorrect, but it was outside our country, and a number of kids had seizures all at once because they were seeing this for the first time. So that's fairly well regulated, but anybody who has this issue, you just have to be careful to stay away from these repetitive flashing lights, because sometimes that can make that happen.
Well, a Suzanne who is in Alcona, which apparently is in Michigan, has asked a question about and this is to me a very interesting question, is what should you do if someone actually has a seizure? Is there something I should do if I'm around someone who's having a seizure?
Yeah, and typically we're talking about more the grand mal seizure or convulsion. You know, a few things that people sometimes do that you shouldn't do. One, you don't want to stick your finger in their mouth because there's this myth that people will swallow their tongue. Well, that's not going to happen, and you're going to lose your finger if you try to do that because they will bite down hard during a seizure. So you don't want to do that. Some people feel like they have to, you know, lie on top of the person and hold them down so they're not stiff and jerking. Well, you're not going to stop it that way either, and you could injure yourself or them. So really what we tell people to do is monitor the seizure, move someone to a safe area if you can lie them down on the floor, and a lot of times at the end of the seizure you want to roll them on their side so fluid that they can't control in their mouth doesn't go down to their lungs but outside the side of their mouth.
So roll them on their side, and by a safe area you mean an area where they aren't going to kick and hurt themselves or kick through a glass door or something like that.
Correct, yes. You want to just be sure that with those movements they're not hurting themselves. And remember that sometimes patients can get confused and a little combative after a seizure. You don't want them walking out of the house into the middle of the street. And so you try to guide them and keep them in a safe area. That's not always the easiest thing, but you have to keep that in mind that they're not really understanding everything you're doing. So try to be calm and just redirect them and to keep them in a safe zone.
And Lisa, who is in, it looks like some Grand Rapids, Michigan, actually. I don't know whether she's listening because it's you. You're in Grand Rapids, aren't you, Dr. Smith?
That's correct.
Well, Lisa from Grand Rapids writes, you seem to be living a normal life with a seizure. I have a son with a seizure. What can be expected from him? Will he be able to drive? Will he be able to, if his seizures are controlled with medications, which they are now, will he be able to live a normal life and engage in common activities?
Well, of course, that's the hope, but you do have to realize the scope of epilepsies is quite different. There are some that are not easy to control seizures, and they do affect the brain development and cognitive functioning. So that's why there are many forms of epilepsy, and we would have to be very specific with each one. Our goal with treatment is to make keep someone seizure-free and let them have a normal quality of life. So ideally, if we can get them on one medication and their seizures are controlled, and depending on what state you're in, for example, in Michigan, if you're seizure-free for 6 months, then you can operate a motor vehicle. So the issue of restrictions is based on your seizure control. And, of course, the goal with almost everyone is to get them to live a normal life. And there are many people out there who have epilepsy you'll never know. They work with you, you see them on the street, and they are living normal lives.
And I guess she's also asking about you. Are you living a normal life now? That is, are there restrictions on what you can do in medicine? And that brings up the question, did you, because of the seizure, go into this field? Or how did you happen to choose this field and you actually have one of these?
Yes. Well, of course, it did affect my decision because when I had to make a decision back in the years in medical school, although my seizures were controlled at that time, it wasn't clear why I was having seizures. And I knew I couldn't become a cardiothoracic surgeon or do something that if I had a seizure in the middle of a procedure, it would cause potential harm to someone else. But subsequently, a tumor was found. I had the surgery to remove it, so I haven't had a seizure, nor have I required any medication in about 20 years. So there is the history of epilepsy, but it is potentially curable in certain situations depending on the cause.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Dr. Smith, for appearing with us and for answering all these great questions. I want to thank our listeners for sending in the great questions. They can always send them in at udocs, UDOCS at gmail.com. Dr. Smith's home is spectrumhealth.org. Spectrum Health in Grand Rapids, where he is co-chair of the Neurovascular Services, and is that where you, Neuroscience Services, and chief of the Division of Neurology at Spectrum Health. And you can also find out more information about epilepsy at epilepsyfoundation.org. Thank you very much. And now, Sonar, that tip of the week. And this tip, keep your tummy comfortable this holiday season. If the soundtrack of your holidays is more like Jingle Burps, yep, that rude YouTube classic, then it's the most wonderful time of the year. Your tummy's not so alone. To cut back on heartburn, cut back on stress and holiday cookies, avoid dairy and move around as much as possible. Remember to fill your plate with plenty of veggies and put the creamier, high-fat, or high-sugar sides on the edge of your plate. Your GI tract will thank you, and your jeans will fit snugly. Joe?
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.